Okay, is it recording? Okay. Okay, we've been discussing what it means to love, fear, and hope. And we talked about how, as Muslims, all of us should have love of Allah, because that love for Allah is what makes us obey His commands. We should also have fear of Allah, because it is the fear that we have of His punishment that keeps us in obedience to Him. And then finally, we should also have hope, because hope is what makes us seek forgiveness from Allah. And hope is what keeps us going. And we've been talking about that all week, and we talked about how all three of those ingredients must exist in each and every one of our hearts, and it must exist in equal proportion. Okay? As Muslims, we are different than the Christians. The Christians have all this love for Allah. They teach you that God is love. Okay? They have all the love but no fear. And then you have the Jews. The Jews have all this hope but not enough fear and not enough love. The Jews believe that all they have to do is just hope that they stay a Jew and they'll go to heaven. Okay, as Muslims, Sister Tweed, believe the total opposite of this. You have to have love for Allah, fear of His punishment, and hope for His mercy. And all three of those ingredients are equal. You cannot have complete iman unless you have all three of them equally balanced in your heart. As we talked about last week in our discussion of the Islamic personality, as Muslims, we have to be justly balanced. Justly balanced. And what this means is you don't want to have too much of anything. Everything, all of our emotions, all of our feelings, everything we do should be justly balanced. And this applies with our love, fear, and hope with Allah. Okay? Yesterday, we talked about how important it is to have love for Allah. And we talked about things that we can do to develop that love. Because believe it or not, there's a lot of people who say, oh my, I just can't get close to Allah. You know, I just don't, nothing. When I think of Allah, I don't get any feelings. Nothing happens. My heart doesn't move. Okay? What can I do to develop love for Allah? Who can remember what some of the things are that we talked about? What did we talk about yesterday, which are some things we can do to develop love for Allah? Who can remember? Sister Magda, you were here. What are some of the things that we talked about that we can do to help bring about love in our hearts for Allah? Very good. We talked about how important dhikr is, doing acts of remembrance of Allah. We talked about how important it is to memorize Allah's names and His attributes, okay? And by saying His names and saying His attributes, this will help to stir up the emotion of love in your heart. We also talked about how we should ponder the meaning of the Quran. Okay? You don't just want to recite the Quran. You don't just want to read the Quran. We talked about how there's a lot of people who can read Arabic. I mean, alhamdulillah, that's one of the beauties of this religion. That's one of the miracles of the Quran. It's not hard to learn how to read Arabic. Okay? However, understanding what you're saying, this is the key. And a lot of people can read Arabic, but they do not understand what those words are. So we have to ponder the meaning, read the transliteration, get an idea of what we're saying. This will help to develop love in your heart for Allah. We also talked about another thing that we can do to develop love is to think of all the good things Allah has blessed us with. Think of Allah's kindness. Think of His bounties, His blessings. And this will help to open up love in your heart for Him. And then yesterday we also talked about how important it is for us to learn how to be alone with Allah and talk to Allah. This is something that I, along with Imam Ibrahim, we have been stressing this a lot here to you all at the website. Too many of us are in the habit of telling people to make dua for us. Make dua for me, which there's nothing wrong with asking somebody to make dua for you. But this is really something that we need to learn how to do for ourselves. We need to learn how to make dua for yourself, because no one can talk to Allah better than you can. Okay? We all need to learn how to establish our own relationship with Allah. Establish our own ibadah with Allah. Okay? And this will help us in turn to love Him and bring us closer to Him. Okay? So these are just some of the things that we talked about yesterday that we can do to develop love in our heart. And for those of you who weren't here, I suggest you read the email over, because many of us can work on developing that love for Allah. And then also yesterday we talked about a little bit about fear and hope. We talked about how fear and hope must be equally proportioned. Okay? Today what I want to do is talk a little bit more in detail about fear. Just as we talked about things we can do to develop love for Allah, there's things we can do that will help to put fear of Allah's wrath and punishment in our hearts too. If you are a person who has no fear of Allah, one of the main symptoms of this is you're going to commit sins. You don't feel bad about committing sins. You need to put the fear of Allah in your heart. And here are some of the signs to look for to tell if whether or not you have fear of Allah. The first is watching your tongue. Watching your tongue. And this is a problem with many Muslims today. This is a serious problem amongst our ummah today. Too many people engage in backbiting people who they don't even know. They engage in frivolous gossip about things and people they don't know. They speak evil. They call people out their name, call people deviants, call people this, call people that, people whom they have never met in their life, people whom if they saw on the street, they wouldn't know who they were. Okay? If you are a person who indulges in backbiting, slander, gossip, then this is a sign that you don't have fear of Allah. Okay? We should engage our tongues in remembrance of Allah, in reciting the Quran, and in things like that, instead of wasting our time with frivolous, evil talk, which is what so many Muslims are doing today, especially in so-called chat rooms on the internet. Okay? Another sign that you don't have fear of Allah is if you have hatred and jealousy towards someone unjustly. I mean, what is this? You know, hatred and jealousy, and these are characteristics of the shaitan. We should wish our fellow Muslims well. We shouldn't walk around hating each other and wishing bad things upon another Muslim who's never done anything to us. So we need to look inside our hearts and expel any hatred, enmity, and jealousy that may exist in there. Because if you harbor those emotions, then you are a person who have no fear of Allah. Okay? Also, we should be careful of what we put in our stomachs. And what this means is, if you are a person who is quick to eat anything, you don't read the ingredients, you'll just throw anything in your stomach, then this is a sign of a person who does not have fear of Allah. We have to take our dietary laws serious, guys. Allah has clearly defined for us those things that are haram to eat, and it's not that many things. And He has clearly defined for us those things that are halal to eat. So we have to be careful of what we put in our stomach. Take the time to read the ingredients. Okay? If you don't do this, then this is a sign that you are a person suffering from weakness, from lack of fear of Allah. Another symptom of a person who has no fear of Allah is a person who allows his eyes to wander where they shouldn't be. Okay? This is a person who doesn't lower his gaze. Guys, Allah has instructed us, commanded us over and over in many ayats of the Quran to lower our gaze, to not look at other women who are not our wives, other men who are not our husbands. If you are a person who has a problem lowering your gaze, then you are a person who has no fear of Allah. Because if you don't lower your gaze, guess what? It leads to other things. First you look at the person, then you desire the person, then you go talk to the person, then you start touching the person, and it goes on and on and on. We have to learn to lower our gaze, okay? Another symptom of a person who has no fear of Allah is a person who is not concerned with their good deeds, with how they perform their good deeds. This is a person who does things just to be seen of men. Remember, guys, we teach you guys here at this website, and again, unlike what the slanderers out there say about me on the internet, which I don't care, they slander my husband too, so I'm his wife, so what can I expect? You know, hey, we must be, they slandered Isa and Prophet Muhammad, salallahu alayhi wa sallam too, what can we say? But anyway, everything that we're teaching you here is based on Quran and Sunnah. I'm not teaching you Islam based on Layla's view or Layla's opinion. The books that I'm reading to you are books, Sahih books. This book is written by Ibn Taymiyyah. Okay, most of the books that we read from are books from Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim, and I'm reading them word for word. Okay? We're teaching you to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders us, he warns us to be concerned that our good deeds are done not for show and tell, but they're done for Allah. Anything that you do it for Allah. Even, for example, a website. Making a website about Islam, it should be for Allah. Okay? Everything that we do, when we teach you about Islam, we're not teaching it, we're not looking for fame or recognition, okay? We're looking just to get rewards from Allah for bringing the people around to the true Aqidah, the true way of life, His way, based on the Quran and the Sunnah, okay? Anything that you do, even if it's calling the Adhan, you don't call the Adhan because you want people to say how beautiful your Tajweed is. You do it for the sake of Allah. We have to be concerned as Muslims that all of our actions are done strictly for Allah, solely for Him, not for anything else. If you are a person who does things for reasons other than Allah, then you are a person who has no fear. No fear. So these are just some of the symptoms that we can look for of a person who has no fear of Allah. And again, each and every one of us should know our own self. The Sahaba, they used to stand in the mirror and look at themselves. They used to spend a whole days trying to look inside their hearts to see what type of qualities they need to work on, what things they need to get rid of. You can only judge yourself. You look inside your heart. If you recognize that you're a person that likes to show off, you're a person that harbors jealousy, you're a person who likes to backbite, you love slander, you like gossip, you hang around with people who do these things, then you need to check yourself. Check yourself. Check yourself before it's too late. Work on developing fear of Allah. And the next thing that takes us to is, how do we do this? How do we develop this fear? You look in your heart, you recognize that you have a problem with gossiping, you have a problem with showing off, you have a problem with not being moved but when you hear the Quran. Okay, I recognize that. I need to work on my fear. So what do I do? That's the next question that the believing Muslim would ask. Well, what do we do to change this? Okay? What we're going to do now is talk about things that we can do as Muslims to help develop that fear. And the number one thing is fear death before repenting. Each and every one of us, we should fear dying before having repented for our sins. If you think about death, death will put the fear of Allah in the heart of anyone who truly believes in Allah. Think about the punishments of the grave. Think about how all those angels will come to you. You'll be in this dark pitch underneath the ground. All those maggots and worms. Think of that. That scares me. Oh my God. It scares me. Dying scares me. Lying in a grave. The thought of being in the grave with maggots eating my skin and worms. It just makes me sick. This is fear. And this will put the fear of Allah in the heart of anyone if you think about that. Then think about how those angels are going to come looking like monsters carrying big bats in their hand. And how if you answer these questions wrong, they will beat you with these bats. Think of that. That should put the fear of Allah in your heart. Okay? Death is one of the best things to think of in regards to making you fear Allah. Okay? Another thing that we can do to help develop fear for Allah is think about the consequences of our actions. Think about all the things the Prophet ﷺ said will happen to you, a person who doesn't pray. What's going to happen to him on the day of judgment? How the prayers, your salat will be one of the first things that Allah questioned you about. Think about that. Think about the punishments that the Prophet ﷺ said will happen to the person who committed adultery. How the adulterer would be hanging by her breath in hell. How the woman who wore had her hair exposed will be hanging by her hair in hell. Think about that. Think about how the least punishment for a person in hell is the one who steps on a brick and his brain explodes. Think about that. That should put fear of Allah in your heart if you are a true believer. Okay? These are things that we can do to help increase fear in us. Think of the fear of being disgraced at the time of death. Now, this is important, and I told the people about this morning in the morning class. This is a true story. The Prophet ﷺ said, beware of a terrible ending, a bad ending. And a lot of people ask, what's a bad ending? A disgraceful death. And I'll give you a true story. This happened a few years ago. There was an imam, very well-known imam, highly respected throughout the city, highly respected. Everybody thought he was a get-down, tough imam. He went to California to visit relatives, so he said. And this was back when Los Angeles had that big earthquake. Okay, he was missing. Nobody knew where he was. He was found 2 weeks later in the ruins of a hotel room. He was dead with a prostitute on top of him. Astaghfirullah. Imagine the shame, the disgrace. Here's a man that everybody had respected. Imagine how his wives felt. Their husband found dead in the ruins of a hotel from the earthquake. And he was laying in the bed naked with a prostitute on top of him. That's a disgraceful death. That's a bad ending that the Prophet ﷺ would tell us to fear having. Remember, the last thing that you do may cancel out all your other good deeds. The last thing you do before Allah takes your soul can cancel out all other good deeds. So you need to fear a disgraceful death, a bad ending. This will help to develop the fear of Allah in your heart. Okay? We should also fear the pains of death. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, everyone who dies experiences agony of death, including him. And he was a prophet. Even he went through the pains of death. When you're dying, Shaitan comes to you. Remember, Shaitan tries to play on you all the way until Allah takes your soul. Remember, each and every one of us has a jinn. That jinn becomes a sign to you when you reach the age of puberty. And he stays with you until the day you die. Okay? When Allah takes your soul, that's when he leaves you. But even when you're dying, the shaitan, he will come to you and try to tempt you to deny Allah, to disbelieve in Allah. Even when you're dying, he'll come to you and try to get you to say things to renounce Allah and this religion. Because he said he will take to hell as many of the humans as he can. Okay? So we should fear the pains of death. This will help to develop fear of Allah in our hearts. You should also fear the shame of the hereafter. Think about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah says that we will be raised up from our graves barefoot and naked, and we will stand before Allah naked. All of our sins open, an open book. You can't lie to Allah. Your hands will do the talking. Your feet will do the talking. Your body will do the talking. Nothing you can do. That should be a terrible thing to fear. And also fear the Sirat bridge. How you all we all have to cross that bridge. There'll be some people who will fall, who won't make it. Most people won't make it across that bridge. The fear of that bridge should put some fear of Allah in your heart and make you want to run and obey him. Run and start making your salats. Run and start fasting. Okay? So these are things that we can do as Muslims if you have an ounce of belief in your heart. By doing these things, this should put the fear of Allah in you. If you have at least an ounce of iman. Okay? Are there any questions? Any questions about this? Okay, we have to... Okay, sure. What's your question, Sister Jennifer? Sure, what's your question? Remember, the fear of Allah, that fear that we have of Allah is what keeps us in obedience. Okay, Sister Jennifer, the only person, I mean, we're not talking about hate. I mean, you can hate for the sake of Allah. Yes, Allah, you should hate anything that Allah hates. You should hate a hypocrite. You should hate a liar. You should hate a person who backbites. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with hating for the sake of Allah. But in regards to jealousy and envy, you should not be envious of anyone unless it's one of two people. A man who Allah has given money to, and he spends it in the name of Allah, that's a person you can be jealous of. Or a person who has knowledge of Islam and teaches it to others and acts upon that knowledge. Those are the only two people that you are allowed to be jealous of. Other than that, no. Hate? Oh, yes. You can hate for the sake of Allah. That's a different topic. But jealousy, envy, these are characteristics of the shaitan. The shaitan puts in our hearts to lead us astray. Okay? But you shouldn't be jealous of anyone unless it's a person who has knowledge of Islam and teaches it to others. And you know what? I just thought about that the other day. When all this slander got started about me and I found out about this website they have. This website where they got a posting up about Layla Nasheeba. These people got nothing better to do with their life than to sit there and post up slanderous things about me when they don't even know me. They don't know who I am. They don't know nothing about me. All because I kicked them out of my website. But when I found out about that website and went to see it, at first, I'm human. I got angry. I got very angry at first. How dare these people attack me like this? Say these horrible things about me. You can't even pay a kafir to say these things to me. SubhanAllah. Even a kafir respects me. Astaghfirullah. At first I was angry, and then, you know, someone called me. One of my friends called me and they told me, they said, Layla, you know what? What did you teach us in Tawheed? The only person you can envy is a person who has knowledge of this religion and teaches it to others and act upon it. And this person said, Layla, you have taught so much about Islam. She said, I've learned so much from you from coming to your website. So do you know these people are jealous of you because you are doing something that they can't do? They have nothing better to do than to make a poster board and pour post up slander. You're teaching people. You're teaching people the truth of Islam. And so when this person told me this, that's when my anger went away. I said, yeah, I guess you're right. These people are jealous. But that hadith doesn't mean that, to be jealous in a negative way like that. What Allah means by that hadith is be jealous of these people to better yourself, to become like them, to be like them. It doesn't mean to be jealous of them to the point where you try to destroy them. But still, just the simple fact this person called and told me that, it made me feel better. And I said, you know, you're right. You know, let these crazy people slander. Hey, they slander my husband, so who am I to complain? He doesn't complain, and he's a well-known, famous sheikh. And if he doesn't complain, what am I complaining about? I'm just nobody, you know? So you need to stay away from slander and stay away from jealousy, Jennifer, because these are terrible attributes. And when Allah tells us to be envious of those two type of people, He means be envious of them in a good way, that you will become like them, okay? That you will want to be like them and do for Allah like them too, okay? But you want to avoid that. There's nobody worth being jealous of. Okay, because nobody knows if they're going to heaven or hell. Okay, but anyway, we have to understand as Muslims, guys, that the closer you get to Allah, the closer you become with Allah, the more your iman grows, the more shaitan will try to put salt in your program. And this is what someone had to remind me of a few days ago when I was upset. And you know what? The person who reminded me this is not even Muslim. It was my attorney. My attorney said, whenever you're doing something good, Layla, don't you know that the evil forces would try to put salt in there? I said, yeah, you're right. You know, and I looked at it Islamically. The closer we become to Allah, the more shaitan is going to come and try to cause problems, guys. You have to realize that shaitan makes false promises to humans. Shaitan comes to humans, and he gives them sweet dreams in order to mislead them, okay? Because remember, that jinn will stay with you until you die. And he will try to take you to hell. He's one of Shaitan's army. Okay? Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, that the Shaitan, he promises them and stirs up desires in them. And all Shaitan's promises are only to fool them. So Shaitan comes to human beings and makes promises to them. And gives them sweet dreams and sweet desires, makes them think they're doing something good. For example, those people with that website, they think they got shaitan, has them thinking they're doing something good. They think that sitting up writing all this slander about a Muslim woman who they don't even know, who has dedicated her life to Allah and then to his religion, shaitan got them thinking that she's really a deviant woman. Because I'm doing something that they ain't doing, which is what they should be doing. Shaitan has misled them. And he really has them suckered into thinking that they're doing something right. He's made them a bunch of false promises. This is how he works. We have to remember too that in their battles against the believers, Shaitan promises these people that he will aid them and honor them and give them victory. And then he leaves them standing alone, the same way Shaitan did the hypocrites at the Battle of Uhud with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Shaitan took the form of a man and came to these people and divided the Muslims up, had the Muslims divide into two different ranks fighting with each other. And he promised the disbelievers victory. He promised them that he would help them. And soon as Allah sent them that army of angels, as soon as Shaitan looked up and saw Jibreel riding on a horse, dressed in white, holding that sword, what did Shaitan do? Uh-oh, party's over, dude. I'll see y'all later. He booked up and left those hypocrites. He left them, and they were slaughtered. They were slaughtered. Okay, so we need to understand that Shaitan's job is to take us down. He will come to us. He will make false promises to us. He will give us sweet dreams to lead us astray. He will make you think that you are doing something. He will make slander look like it's a good thing to you. Look at all the people on the internet who slander people like Shaq Attlee. That's why I say, who am I to be upset? Hey, I just made the big lead. Look at all the slanderous remarks they say about Shaq Attlee. The slanderous remarks they say about Ali Tamimi. The way they slander Bilal Phillips to no end. Look at all these good men. Look at Sheikh Munajat. Sheikh Munajat, they slander him. Call him all kind of names. Okay? Shaitan really has these people thinking that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. He's given them false promises. He's given them false hope. Well, they think that they are actually serving a service to the Muslims by slandering good men who have done nothing but devote their lives to teaching al-Islam to others. Okay? So we need to not fall, guys, as a victim to Shaitan. We need to learn how to fight against the Shaitan and know that we have to fill our hearts with fear, love, and hope. Love for Allah is what makes us obey His commands, such as do not backbite. Fear of Allah's wrath of what He says will happen to the backbiter is what makes you stay away from it. And having hope for Allah's mercy is what keeps you going if you make the mistake and fall for it, because you're only human. So we have to learn how to incorporate these three things, love, fear, and hope, into our hearts, because nobody's iman is complete. And that also goes for hating for the sake of Allah. Sister Jennifer, iman is not complete unless you love what Allah loves and you hate what Allah hates. Allah says He hates a backbiter, so you should hate him too. Allah says He hates a hypocrite. You hate him too. Allah says He hates what the Jews have done. You hate it too. That's part of faith. Hate, love, fear, hope, all of these things is what makes a person's iman complete. If you are lacking any of those elements, then your iman is not complete. Does everybody understand that? And we're going to talk more about hate tomorrow, because we're going to talk about the Islamic concept of wala and bara. That's going to what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Wala and bara, which means allegiance to Allah, and having allegiance to Allah and enmity towards those things which He is against. So we're going to talk about hate tomorrow. Hate for the sake of Allah. Okay, are there any questions? Are there any questions? Okay, if you have any questions about anything, feel free to ask them. The next class will be the class with Brother Abu Ibrahim on the hadith, the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. But I'll entertain any questions about Islam that you may have for now, inshallah.